reclaiming your sexual health with the Erotic Blueprint? What?
Welcome to the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Dupree, scouring the globe to bring you stories of courage, passion, and resilience. If I could sum up this podcast into one word, I would use empathy. Now let's get inspired.
Welcome to the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I am your host once again, Brett Dupree. Today is Let's Talk About Sex with Nikki Snowden. Yes, this is going to be an explicit episode. So if you trigger warning, if you don't want to talk about sex, you're not going to like the rest of this episode. But before we talk about sex, we're going to talk about me, but not my sex or my gender. Because if I can't be vulnerable, then how can I expect my guests to be? Well, I just meant that as a joke. I'm still not going to talk about gender because that's not what's going on in my life. I don't know if that joke was unfunny or whatever, but I'm going to leave it in because vulnerability. It is May 27th as I'm recording this and the world is going topsy-turvy. Sometimes I wonder if this is going to be discovered 10 years from now in the wastelands as the coronavirus has hit 100,000 deaths in the U.S. alone, which is nearly a third of worldwide deaths if you believe the official reports, which I tend to not to because I think a lot of people are underreporting, also, which includes the U.S. And right now, or at least last night, there were race riots, if you want to call them that, or there are riots and attacks in Minnesota due to a police officer killing a black man in a ridiculously cruel manner. Doesn't even look to be accidental, just looks to be a casual way to murder somebody in front of people. Just for the lols, if you will. Just don't understand what it takes to be able to kill a man like that. That's crazy, in my opinion, that someone's able to do that. This is a time where things are scary. And not only are things scary, we are stuck in the house. And there's really not much to do other than to look at all the scary things. So thinking about life and how scary it is, and a couple of times last weekend I spent time with my girlfriend. And on Saturday I just had a hard time sleeping because I just kept on thinking of worst case scenarios. Like what happens if everything starts to break down? What happens if we have a second wave in September that is worse than what happened a couple months ago? How are we going to handle it? Are we prepared for such a thing? My guess is no. Especially since there's this weird idea by some people in our federal government that we shouldn't bail out the blue states, which is just silly because we are all American citizens, and all of us American citizens deserve to have protective equipment and functional hospitals. I know, I feel that. I'm sad that even saying that is political in today's world, in today's land. Just saying, like, maybe people shouldn't die. Maybe our economy shouldn't collapse. Maybe we should do better at this is all political. But this is not about political. This is about feeling bad. How do we feel good in this situation? How do we feel good, be joyous and happy people, live a life of joyous expansion, pray in the Church of Awesome, which is being our higher selves, when the world around us is going extra crazy? I mean, it was going crazy before. Nazism is on the rise. Authoritarianism is spanning the globe. So many changes happening. We're close to the singularity. More changes than we can actually shake a stick at. I think of my life 20 years ago and how complicated it was, but it's way more complicated now than it's ever been. And it's only going to get more complicated. I mean, heck, it's not too far from now, maybe 5 years, that we can go to a place and genetically engineer our children. That might be happening soon, and we're going to have to deal with that. But just the humongousity of what's going on right now is damaging. I remember when it first started, just how sad I was, because it was scary, and allowed myself to feel it. Allowed myself the best of my ability to feel that enormity. And the thing is I don't think I even touched on it. I think I'm actually at a point where I can feel it, feel more of it, feel that sadness, and still move forward. Move in a way where I can actually start really bettering myself and using the situation to make me better and not bitter. And it's hard. I mean, there's a lot of people who at the beginning of this, especially spiritual people, the first thing they said, like, this is just an opportunity. I'm going to use it to be happy, to be joyful. I'm going to use this to empower myself. And to be honest, I didn't believe them. How can I believe them? How can I believe someone who's not willing to recognize the severity of the situation, not recognize how the world is going to change, how there is going to be a new normal. This is an event that's going to change lives, period. Even more than the Trump presidency did. This is something that's going to topple some governments. This is something that could cause wars. This can cause strife, like what's happening in Minnesota. That could just be a firework compared to the bigger fireworks, which is a problem with running this off my head. So when the world goes crazy and everything goes nuts, how can we remain joyful, especially for the 30 or 40 million Americans who are just newly unemployed, who are, some are not getting their money, some are unable to pay rent, some are unable to pay bills. How are they able to do that? I mean, I think I can learn from myself a couple years ago when I tried to spiritually bypass my way past my being laid off from a job that I was ready to take the leadership role in and feeling comfortable and was ready to say this. This is where I'm going to spend the next 5 to 10 years, where I try to build on that career while trying to grow into more leadership so I can speak in more leadership. Everything was planned, and then I lost my job, and I never allowed myself to feel bad. I never allowed myself to feel. And the important part of that feeling is it never allowed me to process the feelings at all so I can figure out what was going wrong, what was happening to me. And so it took almost until the end, when I ran out of my money, until I just was able to look back and I lost my second job. And after that point, you know, it's like, F it. What the heck can I do? And I just allowed myself to feel bad. I allowed myself to look back and notice how much my anxieties were really coming out. In a way, I was a broken person. And honestly, through divine intervention, I got the two most perfect jobs for me. I got one job that literally needed me to do nothing. For first month and a half, I literally did nothing. And there was really nothing I could do, maybe research, but I just didn't have it in me. So I just learned a lot about World War I. And I finally was able to do that job, and I did the best of my ability, and they started to appreciate the work I did because I didn't complain. I just did my job. And from that, I was able to gain confidence in myself again. And then I got the current job that I have that's in healthcare during a time where healthcare is needed. And by their financials, it looks like they still don't plan on laying anyone off, if you can believe the executives. But honestly, can you ever believe executives? But I'm in my highest paying, most stable job in my life during this time, and it's almost like someone's just taking care of me. And I feel lucky, and there's a part of me that doesn't feel like I deserve it, but here I am. That doesn't help, and that's not helpful. But allowing myself to feel bad, I believe, is allowing me to get through this situation better, to really feel the fear, to feel the fact that I miss my girlfriend, to feel the fact that a lot of things are going to change. Feel the fear. There's nothing wrong with being afraid. I'm sick of spiritual people telling me there's something wrong with being afraid. Fear isn't bad. Fear is great. Fear is one of the reason we're still alive. I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of this fear is bad BS. I'm done. I want the next person who says that, I want their fear, a punch in the face. Just kidding. I'm not violent. But it's dumb. Fear isn't, I mean, making all your decisions from fear and not processing the fear can lead to bad things. But fear in itself and being afraid is not bad. And I'm done with that. I'm done. So allow yourself to feel afraid. Allow yourself to feel bad. Allow yourself to process the emotions and the enormity of this situation. If you can get therapy or talk to a friend about it, talk to a loved one and really just feel it and decide on how you want to move forward, how you want to process these feelings, putting work in a hobby or support group or something along those lines, or just sit on your couch and do nothing. That was the weirdest thing. I noticed being at my girlfriend's for 3 days, just I had nothing to do because I was with her and I didn't have a podcast edit because I was here, couldn't pick up work, couldn't do all the things that I have in the back of my head I need to do, and just felt nice to do nothing. So allow yourself to just do nothing if that's what you need. I'm not going to say this is a blessing in disguise because it's not, but this is a time to really look at yourself, really look on how you deal with enormity. You're just given an opportunity and it sucks. It's not a blessing, but you can get blessings out of it. You can't handle what happens in your life. All you could do is decide what you do with it. Do you allow it to make you better or do you allow it to make you bitter? Do you increase your love or do you increase your anger and attack and succumb to fear? Breathe. And while we are talking about all those heavy things, let's talk about sex. actually met Nikki at a authentic relation. That's the word. Authentic relation session. And she was pretty cool. I liked her as a person. And got to know her a little bit better. And seeing her step into her power. And I believe she was going through the certification when I first met her. And now she's doing it full time. And it's super fun to watch someone grow. And I'm so happy to have her on my podcast. So I'm very excited for you to hear what she has to say. Nikki Snow has been passionately studying about health and wellness for over 30 years. And especially sexuality, love, intimacy, and relationships for over 5. She has studied and mentored with Jaya, the creator of the Erotic Blueprints, Kim Anami, creator of the Well Fudged Woman Salon, Joseph Kramer, creator of the Sexology Bodywork, Dr. Joe Dispenza, neuroscientist and researcher about reprogramming limiting subconscious beliefs, and Satyan Raja, Kung Fu Master, Illumination Master, and founder of Accelerated Evolution. She has invested over $150,000 in her education on personal growth and transformation. Now here's my interview with Nikki Snow. Hello, Nikki, and welcome to my podcast.
Hey, Brett. How's it going? Thanks.
I am going pretty good. I hope your life is treating you well.
It is. It is. I feel super, super fortunate and privileged to be able to have a home and food and be able to work from home a bit. It's a good time, even despite the crazy times that are kind of happening right now.
Yeah, that is true. These are interesting times, to say the least.
Interesting. Yes. Yeah, it's a good word.
So who was Nikki before you started working in health and wellness?
Ooh, well, that's a great question because I actually started working in health and wellness about 30 years ago when I was right out of college. Actually, scratch that. That was like when I was a teenager because I've always been interested in health and wellness. When I was 12, I started taking an interest in nutrition and I started actually buying food for the family. My mom would literally give me a check to go to the store. The people there at the store knew me and I would go shop. That was the start of my health and wellness journey. Who I was before that, I was just a little kid. Yeah. But if you have a question about who I was before more of my sexuality phase, that's a different answer.
Let's hear that one.
Well, that one is, so I got into sexuality education, relationships, and intimacy about 5 years ago. And so before that, I do have a bachelor's of science in health, wellness, and exercise science. And I was a personal trainer for a while. And then I became what's called a resistance training specialist and a muscle activation specialist. And what that allowed me to do was to work with people restoring their alignment, preventing injury, and revitalizing their body. It was kind of like people would come to me who were in pain and they needed help. They'd seen this doctor and that acupuncturist and this physical therapist. And I was a body mechanic, essentially, and helped to restore the nervous system connections. I worked in that. I had my own business in that for about a solid 5 years with the business, but I was learning it about 3 years prior. So like an 8 year stint or so. Then I became a mom and I kind of left the business world behind and I had a baby. I was a stay-at-home mom for most of that, but I still studied. I'm an avid learner and researcher and I learn and research everything and anything that has to do with health, wellness, nutrition, food, cooking, how to keep our bodies healthy, herbs. I love herbs. Oh my God. And then I became an artist also. I've always been an artist, but I took some really in-depth classes for art and I became pretty decent at that. And I'm still loving art. And now I'm kind of mixing art into my sexuality practice. But yeah, that's who I was before.
So what got you into sexuality?
Great question. I had been in about a 10-year marriage and let me preface with, I don't want it to seem like I'm throwing him under the bus at all, my ex-husband, because he was a great guy. He was an amazing husband and provider and father to my child and still is. Something in us changed. We became parents very quickly after meeting each other and knowing each other and falling in love for just a short time. We became parents very quickly, and life changes you. Life changes. And we ended up wanting different things. I realized, because I had a massive health crisis, I turned 40 about 5 years ago, and I had a massive health crisis. I had to have a double hemorrhoidectomy, internal hemorrhoids. My moon cycle, what people normally call their period, was really giving me a lot of problems. And I ended up having to go to the hospital with really bad anemia, and I had to have a blood transfusion. That was a big wake-up call for me. I was like, what am I doing? What I would say I was probably in a depression, though it was never clinically diagnosed. I did have a diagnosis of anxiety, and I did see a trauma specialist for 3 years for that. Through the whole process of having this midlife crisis, being really ill, and really taking a look at my own relationship and where was I and what was I doing? What did I really want out of it? I realized that I wanted something much different than he. And I really started exploring my sexuality. What was it that fed me? What was it that made my body come alive and be happy? And I realized through the Erotic Blueprints course, which we can talk about if you'd like to, that I was what's called a shapeshifter. I am a shapeshifter. And shapeshifters need and want a lot. We love energetic things. We love sensual things. We love sexual things and kinky things. I wasn't being fed in all of those things. I learned to do that for myself. And through that process, I was like, oh my God, like this is amazing. I realized that my sexual health had an influence on my physical, mental, emotional health, and vice versa. My physical, mental, and emotional health has an effect on my sexual health. So it's like this big cyclical thing. Having been in the health and wellness industry for so long and seeing people get better, but there was still this missing piece. And I don't know what that is. At that time, I didn't know what it was. And now I know that it is emotional, it is spiritual, it has to do with sexuality. And sexuality is a very big cup. There's so much to sex. Often when we say sex, we think of just this idea of penetration. And that's not what I'm talking about here at all. It's a very broad definition of sex. It's all about erotic life. So does that answer your question? That was really long.
I enjoy that aspect of sex. One thing that I noticed when I went on my personal development journey, one thing I actually did was go to a sex shop where they held classes.
Yeah.
And one thing I just noticed was how healing it was to listen to people who talk about sex as if it was something that was normal.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That's beautiful. I'm so glad you noticed that. I'm so glad you had that experience. Because sex is normal. It is a normal part of our lives. It's how we all got here. We didn't get here any other way. Somebody had to have sex with somebody else for us to get here. It is one of our most basic needs in life. Our culture really has a lot of shame, a lot of taboo, a lot of guilt around sex. And that's something that is a mission of mine. I'm here to help people realize that they are normal. They are not broken. And how do we navigate from being where they are to being in a really beautiful relationship with themselves first and then with another? And for me, I've also realized it also includes nature, our environment, our earth. It's all connected. Yay. Yay, sex shops, and yay, Brett.
Sex is such a big topic and taboo in our society. Did you always have a relatively healthy relationship with sex, or was the Exotic Blueprint like right before that was just a huge jump?
Awesome question. I love this. I had a really pretty, how do I word this so that I had a really rough time in relationship to my body and sex. I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here, and I don't know who's going to listen to this podcast, but you're going to know a lot of things about me here. I started having sex when I was 12. I didn't know I was having sex, But I was having oral sex at the time of 12. And I didn't know I was having sex because I was never really educated about it. So I didn't, all I know is that like it felt good. And it was with somebody else. It wasn't just with myself, which I was having sex with myself probably from the time I was like 9, you know, rubbing against things. And parents out there, like your kids are changing and active. And it's great to educate yourself on these things. My first penetration sex was at the age of 15, and then things got really squirrely, and I had a really rough time with a lot of traumatic experiences with boys, with men much older than me. I had some good relationships in there also, but I also had a lot of rough times, and it included some different types of STDs that I contracted and remedied. Some you can't remedy, so I still carry that. It really led me into my first marriage with my first husband was pretty traumatic also, hence the 3 years of trauma therapy. I believe that having all of that experience has brought me to where I am today. It was all for a good reason. I went through those things in order to be the person that I can be right now in my life, helping others and helping my own daughter navigate. She is 10 and a half. She's going to actually be 11 in June. We've had some really amazing discussions so far, and I'm looking forward to more. So it wasn't all fun and roses at first.
What advice would you give to people with kids around 9 to 12 in talking about sex?
Ooh, great question. I would say educate yourself. There's some great books, some great kids books that are age appropriate. There's some great courses. I may even actually start a course to help educate parents on their own sexuality, their own triggers, their own traumas, their own. Let me be very clear. I'm not a trauma therapist, but my practice is trauma informed. I do have contacts that I can use to, if you need trauma therapy, I can refer you and we can work with somebody who does that specific thing. But working with your own stuff and becoming comfortable with your own sexuality, your own desires, your own needs, your own wants is really, really important. And then just being really open with them in an age-appropriate manner, but not ever shaming them for any questions they might ask or for anything they might see. And let me tell you, kids are seeing stuff out there. They are watching porn. They are seeing porn. My partner, he is a school teacher, and he came home with a story earlier this year that one of his first graders asked him, because he teaches kindergarten through fifth grade. One of his first graders asked him, "Do you know what porn is?" And he was like, "What? yeah. What do you know about it?" This little first grader's older brother, who I think was maybe in sixth or seventh grade, had showed him porn. The kids are getting knowledge from somewhere. The most important thing is to make sure that you're there for them and that they're not afraid to talk to you about it, or that they have somebody that they can talk to about it.
What made you decide to jump on the Erotic Blueprint and do it and become a coach? And can you explain a little bit of it to our audience?
I was actually listening to another podcast. I'm an avid podcast consumer. It was called Rewild Yourself with Daniel Vitalis, and it's no longer active. I mean, I'm sure it's archived. He doesn't do that one anymore. But the creator of the Erotic Blueprints, Jaya, she was a guest on his podcast show. And so I heard that and I immediately was, oh my God, that makes a lot of sense. I want to learn more about that. The thing that made a lot of sense to me was that she was describing these 5 erotic blueprints. And if you've ever heard of the 5 love languages, it's kind of a similar thought process where we all get fed differently. My love languages are quality time and physical touch. If I don't get quality time with my partner and I don't get physical touch, it doesn't matter anything else. He could give me all the gifts in the world. Still doesn't make up for the quality touch or quality touch that I need. And so the erotic blueprints are very similar, but it's in the realm of sex, not just love, which there's a whole lot of mix up in there, right? Love, sex. It's anyways, we won't go there right now. The erotic blueprints. So there's five of them. So the first one, and these aren't really in any particular order, but this is just the way I order them in my head, is energetic. And energetic people need time, space, tease, anticipation. The second one is sensual. And all of these, let me also say that all of these do have positive aspects and what we call shadow aspects, things that kind of create issues in a person's life. And I'll give an example in a moment. So the sensual blueprint, erotic blueprint, is typically what we think of like the romantic, somebody who really loves a beautiful space, really delicious, yummy food. It has to have like this, the right smells and the right environment. And so one of the shadows of the sensual blueprint is not being able to leave your to-do list, the laundry that's on the floor, the things that are, shoot, I didn't get that done today. If you can't get that out of your mind, able to like relax into a sexual experience, that's a shadow aspect of the sensual blueprint. We did energetic, sensual. So the next one is sexual. And the sexual blueprint is really simple. It's all about nakedness, genitals, penetration, orgasm. That's it. What more is there? You don't need much more. And there's a really beautiful thing to that in that simplicity. And the shadow part is sometimes people who are sexually blueprinted are missing the fact that their partners need more. And then there's kinky. Kinky is the fourth blueprint. That's really anything outside your norm. It can be a huge range of things. There's a story that Jaya tells about she had a couple who were her clients. They had been married for like 40 years. They had never done it. Look at me talking. They had never had sex, penetrative sex, out of missionary position. So the thought of having oral sex, then they had never had oral sex. So the thought of having oral sex was super kinky to them because it was so outside their norm. And kinky can go all the way to things like what we think of as BDSM. And some people get freaked out about that. And you don't have to get freaked out about that because it's such a huge, huge creative realm out there. It can include things like bondage. There's a thing called shibari, which is a really beautiful form of rope tying and bondage. It can go to impact play like spanking or using different types of implements to impact the body. It could also go to psychological kink and just fantasy and storytelling and how role playing could be really exciting. It's huge. There's that one. And then the last blueprint is the shapeshifter, which I said that's what I am. A shapeshifter is a combination of them all. You need them all. You want them all. If you're not getting fed in them all, you just feel like there's really something missing in your life. A big shadow of the shapeshifter is that we feel like we're too much. We feel like we're too complicated. We feel like we're never satisfied. And or we've heard these things from other people that we are too complicated. We're never satisfied. And really, we're just really beautiful instruments that just want to be played. So those are the five blueprints. And it's also a good thing to know that you can be in a different stage of your blueprint. You might be resting and not having any eroticism or sex in your life at all. Or you could be in a healing phase. Maybe you just had a baby. Maybe you just had surgery. Maybe you are healing from trauma. There's so many variables. maybe you're in a curious phase where you're just like learning and absorbing. Somebody who might be listening to this podcast could be in a curious phase and be like, whoa, that sounds cool, interesting. And then there could be in the adventurous phase where you're actually trying different things, things that you've never tried before. And then there's a transcendent phase where it kind of blows out of time and space, and sex is not just about bodily sex anymore.
How does it look like working with you with these erotic blueprints?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the foundation of my work is the erotic blueprints. That is one of the main things that we figure out at first, because you need to know that in order to learn anything else. Beyond that, the whole world opens up. So I'm a graduate of sexological bodywork, and I also have been trained in things like accelerated evolution and authentic relating. And it depends on a person or a couple or a moresome. And I say moresome because now there's a lot of polyamorous couples out there, or swingers. I don't only work with singles or couples. I work with anyone, really. Although my specialty is in men who are feeling guilty for their desires around sex and intimacy, who are having trouble navigating those desires. I guess let me back up there. I have a group program called Authentic Masculinity. That's where most of my men enter. I'm actually going to be starting a women's group as well. And so that's where most of my women will enter. Beyond that, I have 3, 6, and 12-month mentorships. During those group programs and mentorships, it's all about meeting you where you're at and serving you where you're at. Because some people need a lot of clearings, clearing the blocks and resistances, learning about communication. Sometimes people really just need to learn how to communicate and need to relax, let go of the things that trigger them, and really learn how to communicate with themselves and with their partner, and then learn how to feed their partner, learn what their blueprint is, their own blueprint, and learn what the other person's blueprint is, and then learn how to feed each other. Where do those blueprints overlap? How can they feed each other best? There's a whole host of like being able to learn different types of massage, different types of breathing practice, different types of vulva massage, cock massage, different ways of touching the body, different ways of feeding the erotic blueprint through specific touch. I am a hands-off practitioner, but I do teach in person. If a couple or moresome comes to me, I can teach them in person how to give touch, how to receive touch. What are the differences? Because there's a difference between giving and receiving. Also a difference between taking and allowing. And this is work from Betty Martin. She came up with this wheel of consent concept, because often when we think we're giving, we actually might be taking. We don't realize it because we haven't completely communicated with our partners. Laying foundation for that. I talked about the clearing of the blocks and resistances. And it's really about becoming the best version of yourself. It can look very spiritual to some people. It can look very practical to some people. A lot of people have never had an outlet to talking to anyone about this, just really genuinely and honestly. And I hear that a lot from my clients. And it's just so wonderful that they're like, oh my God, they're crying. They're like, this is the first time I've ever told anybody that. And I was like, wow, like, thank you so much. I'm always honored to work with all of my clients. It's a really special honor.
Speaking of clients, have you had any fun success stories that you'd like to share? Of course, generic as possible.
I like that caveat, Brett. Thanks.
Just assuming what you're talking about is quite personal.
It is. It is. Yes. Yes. I've had really great success. So one man who pops into my mind is a man who found out his wife was cheating on him. They separated. And through our work together, he really came to realize who he was and what his needs were. I was the first person he ever talked to about his relationships and the communication. And so, and he's still a client. We're still actively working, and he's just amazing. And I love hearing him. After every session, I always ask for two or three wins, takeaways, ahas, insights, something. And he always just like blows me away with these things that he's learned. And really, it's him doing the work. I'm a guide in the process, but he's the one who is really digging deep and coming to these conclusions. I'm just like, whoa, awesome, amazing. That's one person that I can think of right away. I've worked with another man who is in his early 60s, a gay man, and he had kind of given up. He'd had really hard time throughout his youth. He had a hard time in relationships because in the gay community that he experienced, those men were very sexually blueprinted. Their erotic blueprints were mostly sexual, whereas his was more energetic and more sensual. And he missed those things. He wasn't getting those needs met. He was kind of an outcast among outcasts. And through our work together, he realized that his desires were normal. He was normal. He was not broken. And we realized an in-person immersion. We realized that his true erotic blueprint is a shapeshifter. And so that gave him so much confidence to then start really advocating for himself, having a voice, and being willing to share those needs and wants with potential partners. He's doing great. And I also worked a lot with him on more body and nutrition aspect, because oftentimes my older clients need direction with keeping their body, physical body, in tune. A lot of them sit a lot, and a lot of our society sits a lot. And so, like, literally movement. Movement is so good for us, especially for our hips and our backs and our spines when it comes to sex. And then the nutrition piece was a big thing for him too.
So we are coming towards the end of our time together. One thing I like to ask my guests is to give a 1 minute of motivation. You can imagine this as if you're going back to your 8-year-old self in a time machine, and you need to tell everything you need to know to live a happy, joyful life. But unfortunately, in 1 minute, you'll be popped back into the future. Or you can think of it as taking your entire life message and condense it into a minute. So ready to go?
So I would tell myself, trust yourself. Trust what your body is telling you. Your mind will fool you every time. Your body will give you so many things, so many red flags, so many little things. Listen to your body. Just listen to your body, and don't be afraid to voice who you are, and don't be afraid to be who you are. Don't get lost in the doing.
Thank you so much for being on my podcast. I very much enjoyed listening to your story on how you went through some trauma sexually, but then were able to use your ability to improve and to take your life to the next level through embracing our sexuality, sexuality being a very important part of the human condition, especially also hearing how healing it could be to the body, not only to the soul, but to the body, on having a healthy sex life and getting people together who are in a sexual relationship and having a healthy one, I think was very important. So thank you so much for the work you do, and thank you so much for making this world a better place.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Brett. I so appreciate you, your words, what you just said, and for being invited to speak with you. Thanks.
May your day be special.
Thanks. You too.
There you have it, folks. That was my interview with Nikki Snow. One thing I enjoyed about her was, well, talking about sex. I did mention a time when I talked about sex in a class-like situation. I was starting out my personal development, and one of my big keys of my personal development journey was being able to talk to women. And it's very important for me to do that. I used to have extreme social anxiety, and it was even worse when talking to members of the opposite sex, and especially if I was attracted to them. That made it so I just, anything out of my mind would have just been wrong. And my parents didn't talk about sex with me. I learned everything I could about sex from sitcoms. So basically, women didn't like it, and a man had to trick them into it unless they wore short mini skirts and had big 80s hair. So that was my idea of sex. For the most part, my family didn't talk about it. It never came up. I think my dad asked me if I wanted to talk about it once, because I got this book called the yes girl, because I thought it was interesting. It was about a girl who just kept saying yes to people, but it wasn't about sex. It was just about not overexerting yourself. I didn't read it because my dad asked me if I had anything I wanted to talk about, and that just made me feel weird. So I spent most of my life feeling weird about sex and just wishing it was normal and having a lot of anxiety to it. I mean, I don't want to harm anyone. Probably could have had it a lot more growing up, not for my anxiety and also my not. I had the problem of I really didn't want to accidentally go too forward and with a woman, and I also was too afraid to ask for consent. So I was just in that perfect spot, and I wanted to change it. That was actually one of the biggest catalysts of my decision to go into personal development and to really look at myself was to being able to talk to women. And one of the things I did was go to a sex class. It was a sex shop in Linwood. Don't remember the name. It was housed by someone who was at least used to be a stripper because she had gigantic fake titties, and her coworker was a kinky transvestite, I believe. I don't know if it was, I don't know what official transvestite even means. I never asked a person what they consider themselves, so I don't want to put it out there. I just know that they dressed in kinky clothes. And by kinky clothes, I mean leather stuff. She had her own sex dungeon room for display, and it wouldn't surprise me if she did dominatrixing on the side. And this person, I don't know their gender pronouns, didn't even think of asking back then because I wasn't educated enough, but the thing I enjoyed was going to these classes, and I went to like 4 or 5 of them, and it was just kind of just being in a group and just having a teacher who was generally a sex therapist. And a lot of times, a sex therapist wouldn't teach almost anything about what the subject was. I remember, I think one was the female G-spot. I think we talked about the female G-spot for 5 minutes. And the rest of the time, we talked about his time traveling India on his sex tantra tour and the ashram, sex ashram that he used to be a part of. But the thing that I really enjoyed was just having that conversation. Having that conversation that sex is normal. And I think that's one thing that's missing in our society, our puritanical society. I mean, we were founded by the people who are kicked out of England for being too uptight. And I think that's still part of our American psyche. And so I appreciate people like Nikki who just talk about sex like it's normal. I have to mark this episode as explicit, and part of me thinks that's sad. Not part of me, I think that's sad. Because nothing about it was explicit. It was just more clinical and about someone's story. But that's the way our society works. Is you can show somebody die on national television at 8 brutally, but you can't show 2 people having sex. And if you do, things have to be implied and it just has to be weird. So I appreciate people like Nikki. If you want to talk about sex and learn about your sex language, just in case you're wondering, I'm most likely sexual, meaning I just like meat and potatoes. I don't need foreplay or any of that crap. Luckily I learned the work of David Data, so I try to please my woman, but yeah, that's probably too much information about me. But let's just say I learned, and then going to this sex class helped, and it's important to learn, and that's why you want to contact people like Nikki Snow. Can be found on Facebook as Nikki Snow, Instagram as Nikki.TheHolisticSexCoach, or her website, DenverBlueprintsCoach.com. And for those of you who are really committed in getting the love and sex of your dreams, she wanted to do something very special for you. So here's the deal. Normally, her one-on-one consulting time is over $400 an hour. But since you are here today, she wants to do something special for you. This isn't for anyone. This is specifically for people who have been struggling with getting the love and sex life of your dreams. She would like to gift you a one-on-one discovery session completely complimentary. In this session, she'll take a look at where you are now, what your specific goals are, and what's stopping you from having what you ultimately want. So you can find a way to email her at her website, DenverBlueprintsCoach.com. That is episode 71 of the Joyous Expansion Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you for who you are and love you very much. If you want to email me, you can email me at BRETUTSDUPR2ES@JoyousExpansion.com. You can find me on Instagram at Joyous Expansion, Twitter at Joyous Expansion, even LinkedIn at Joyous Expansion. But at Facebook, you have to find me to increase your joy because my SEO was terrible. If you like this interview, share, like, leave a review. I would appreciate you forever if you do. And once again, I'm Brett Dupree, your champion of authentic joy, joyous expansion life coach, and catalyst of transformation of the Church of Awesome, reminding you to be love, to be joy, to be awesome. Now play my jingle.
JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com. Come and say hello to Brad Dupree. He is an inspirational life coach. Good for you and good for me. He turned my life from gray to blue. I'm sure he'll do the same for you. Get in touch and you'll see your life will change dramatically. JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com. Yeah.